It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, welcome back. Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. Got Trey Wallace and the Bear with me this afternoon, as always, breaking things down. Time for the Top 5 at 5, which is brought to you this afternoon by National Rx, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy, where shout out to jump in here, Tanner, if you can, real quick. Help me out. Who was it who called earlier and said they went and dropped $100 at National Rx based on our recommendation?
I do believe that was caller Nick Cage, who said he went over to National Rx just because heard you talking about Russell, and he said to give a shout out to Lisa at National Rx as well.
All right, very good. Way to go, Nick Cage. His best work since Raising Arizona, no doubt. All right, number one today on the Top 5 at 5, NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. If it had gone on its scheduled, the NCAA was anticipating paying out its D1 membership approximately $600 million this year. But with no tournament, the NCAA announced today that that figure will be $225 million. Still not a bad payday, if you ask me. It'll be dispersed amongst the 32 conferences, and so that will obviously be schools will have to settle for about a third of what they would normally be getting from NCAA tournament revenues. Number two, Major League Baseball. 2 weeks ago, they announced suspension of operations due to the spread of the novel coronavirus. Today, reports leaking out that they are going to be moving their draft, which was scheduled to take place from June 10th until June 12th, back a month into mid-July, or when the All-Star break was set to happen. Presumably, the draft will not be held at the Holland Center in Omaha, Nebraska, either. This was going to be the first time it was held in conjunction with the College World Series. It seems more likely Major League Baseball will be forced to change plans and perhaps even throw things back to the days when the draft was, by and large, conducted as a conference call, which has been, you know, kind of what it sounds like the NFL is going to have to do here as well. Number three, NBA also feeling the effects as they announced that they will be reducing base salaries by 20% for about 100 of the league's office top earning executives around the world, according to ESPN. Many of the executives and officials who are impacted work in the league's New York headquarters, including Commissioner Adam Silver. So obviously the NBA is going to have to tighten its belt, 20% salary cuts for some of its lead executives. Number four, SEC Network takeover begins for Tennessee tonight at midnight. The Kentucky game from last year, football game against Kentucky. The Vols, Jarrett Garantano coming off the bench to lead Tennessee to a thrilling come-from-behind win against the Wildcats. Bear, will you be staying up to watch Tennessee and Kentucky tonight at midnight?
No. I'm still on my quest. I think I can finish the rest of the Sopranos tonight.
Trey, you're a night owl. You stay up for that?
Yeah, I'll stay up for it.
Will you stay up till 2:30 a.m. to see the Tennessee-Mississippi State game from last year?
I don't know. The way my sleep patterns have been going on, I might be up for it.
See, 5 a.m., SEC Storied, The Color Orange. That's the Condridge Holloway documentary. 6 a.m., men's basketball, the game against Florida from just a month or two ago. 7:30 a.m., Tennessee softball against Auburn. Second game of a doubleheader from April of last year. 9:30 a.m., women's basketball against Bama. Let's see. We've got Inside Tennessee men's basketball at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you what's happening during the afternoon because you're going to be scheduled to be right here listening to Fan Run Radio on the Drive, correct? But 7 p.m. tomorrow night, you'll watch the Tennessee at Kentucky game from back in March when the Vols went into Corrupt Arena and reached right inside John Calipari's chest, pulled out his cold, dark heart, and ate it right in front of about 20,000 disbelieving, toothless, slack-jawed yokels in Lexington, Kentucky. I will be front row center watching that tomorrow night at 7 p.m. after the drive. You should be too. Maybe we'll live tweet it.
Why aren't they? What? Why are they showing last year's SEC tournament game against Kentucky?
Doesn't look like it.
Because in recent history, that's probably the best basketball game that Tennessee's been a part of. I mean, I know the one in Rupp, but I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, a battle of big time players. I mean, that was the one.
Trey, I'm not ashamed to admit it all. I've rewatched that game a couple of times. And when I was watching that game in my living room last year, my father-in-law in town, and it looked like we were donezo. I think down 7 or 8 with about a minute to play, 2 minutes to play, something like that. And when Grant Williams hit that 3 to get us back in it, I'm not ashamed to admit it all. A little tear ran down the side of my cheek. Kind of like Willie, the time he met his hero, John Gruden, and Cookie backstage at Johnny Major's Tennessee Legends of the Game party at the Tennessee Theater a couple of years ago. Tears of joy. And I rewatched the last couple of minutes of that game recently, a month or two ago, that SEC tournament win over Kentucky. And you know what? You know what, Bear? I cried
again.
What's that, Ralph? Strong men also cry, Bear. Strong men also cry.
Oh, I know that. It's good to cry. You do have a good cry every once in a while.
Felt great. Great. And then 9 p.m. tomorrow on the SEC Takeover, Tennessee-Indiana in the Tax Slayer Bowl. If you want to relive that one, you can as well. Number 5 today on the top 5 at 5. Sad news, Bear. Sad news from the world of sports as Curly Neal has passed away at the age of 77.
Yeah, down in Houston. That was when I texted you, there was some breaking news. Huge part of my childhood. For people of a certain age, you know, when I was a kid, the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, in the 70s it was Meadowlark Lemon, Curly Neal, can't remember some of the other names off the top of my head, but Curly Neal is the best basketball handling. There's never been anybody before him or that I've seen since that could do things with the basketball that he could do. Just incredible. And just a super, super personality and a nice guy. And, you know, he's one of those people that, the world's just not as bright and fun anymore without him.
That footage of him where he would do that, he wore those knee pads so that he could get a running start as he's dribbling, and he would slide like halfway across the court, maintaining his dribble, like dribbling it through dudes' legs and stuff as he's sliding on his knees. It was like something out of the Matrix.
Yeah, and then he could also pull up out there in, you know, Chris Lofton land and just bury shots. Talking like 38 feet out, he'd just crush them. And you know, I was lucky enough to go see him back in the day, like you know what I would call, you know, the classic lineup of him and Meadowlark, and just it was, man, there was not anything much more fun than, you know, your dad coming home and flashing the Globetrotter tickets. So,
did you get to go see him?
Yeah.
I saw the Globetrotters, I want to say mid to late 90s at Thompson Bowling once. And, you know, I can't remember any of the players they had with them at that time. There was no Meadowlark or Goose Tatum or Curly Neal or anything like that. But they were, it was incredible, man. The things that those guys can do. I know their tricks and wouldn't hold up in an NBA game or something like that, but the artistry of it is it's really inspiring, man. If you've never seen the Globetrotters and you get a chance, do it, man. And especially if you got young kids, take them and get as close to the court as possible, because it's such an impressive operation, man. You got to love the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, and it was always centered, you know, towards kids and about kids. And
yeah.
By the same token, those guys couldn't do that, some of those things in the NBA. There weren't a lot of guys that were playing night in, night out in the NBA that could get on the floor and do what those guys did. So, yeah, rest of, you know, good night, sleep, Prince, and Curly Neal belongs to the ages, Russ. It's end of an era.
No doubt. Let's go to the phones, 865-546-8200, your number to hop on board the drive this afternoon. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on Fan Run Radio.
Morning, Larry W.
Philly.
How's it going?
Hey, man, it's going all right. How about you?
I enjoy hearing Bob Elmay's. That's music to my ears anytime he's on the radio.
Wasn't that phenomenal, man? Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's I mean, outside of Buck Pearl, he's probably the best thing that happened to Tennessee basketball. Because right now, Bobby Mays is helping Tennessee basketball immensely right now.
I mean, we could be looking at a team in a couple of years, Phil, that features five-star point guard and B.J. Edwards, a seven-footer in Tamba out there, you know, Jaden Springer, maybe still on the team if we're lucky, like that. And a lot of those guys, you know, Bobby Mays would be an integral part of them ending up at Tennessee.
Yeah, and don't forget about Blue Kane.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
He's a miniature, you know. Larry Bird. Everybody needs to get out and see him next year. But, I mean, Catholic won't have many home games because everybody in Knoxville's scared to play him.
Who was the kid that came out of West Virginia with Moss? That's who he reminds me of.
Jason Williams, White Chocolate?
Yeah.
It's a good comparison.
That's who he reminds me of, and he's got, you know, I know he's just a freshman in high school, but he's definitely got that type of self-confidence and swag about him.
Yeah, he's got a nice hairdo, too. I like it.
Yeah.
Start with your smile. I like it, don't you?
I couldn't pull that one off, Phil. Russ could.
Russ has got hair like it?
Huh. Tell you what, well, Phil, I might have that here in a couple of weeks, because I'm overdue for a haircut right now, and I don't have plans to get one anytime soon, so I guess I'm just letting it grow out, and we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I was watching the TV last night, and they were showing a commercial back in the 1970s where you can cut your own hair. Those devices are coming back out now since all these barbershops have been closed down. It's kind of funny.
The Flobee,
yeah, isn't that great?
What exactly is the Flobee, Bear?
It looks kind of like those vacuums that you know, the do-it-yourself car washes, except when it sucks your hair up inside of it, there's like some kind of blade in there and it cuts it, and you just run it over your head like that.
Are you talking about, you remember that Wayne's World movie? They had the suck cut?
Yeah, it's basically what it is, yeah.
It's a vacuum, and it certainly does suck.
Is Tennessee going to get Anasicki tomorrow?
I don't know. He said he's making his decision at noon, isn't he?
Yeah. I think the tea leaves all favor Tennessee. I mean, he hasn't visited anywhere, any of those places. He's probably been here before, though, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, his sister played here, didn't she?
Yeah.
I'm saying the kid's probably familiar with Knoxville. So
I was looking at the Vol Nation board, and there's some guy comparing him to Howard Wood. If he's half as good as Howard Wood, that'd be what we need. We need somebody to rebound and add some physicality to him. We got a bunch of softies in the paint. We need to toughen up.
I don't know if there's softies in paint. I don't think it's fair to say Fulkerson and Pons aren't tough. That's not what their strongest suit is. We need somebody in there that can complement, you know, the stuff that they do and take a little bit of pressure off of them, Phil.
Whatever you say. They got beat up when Pearl does. Big man beat them up. But speaking of Buck Pearl, you know, it's kind of funny that Bobby Mays didn't mention Stephen Pearl on that team, isn't it?
Somebody hit me up on that, said, why isn't Stephen Pearl on Bobby Mays' TBT tournament team?
Oh, no, he's not good enough. Pearl, but playing Stephen Pearl against Michigan State probably cost him the game. Because he had multi-minutes playing time in that game.
I think it's just that he's, I mean, you heard Bobby list off those names. I mean, who's he going to get minutes in front of? You know?
Well,
there's money on the field.
Auburn. I mean, he couldn't play anyway.
Yeah.
NCAA wouldn't allow something like that.
No.
But that would be nice. They're going to play in Jackson, Tennessee. Is that where he said this thing's going to be?
Yeah, and it makes me just reiterate that I want everybody to stay the hell home and let's get this damn virus the hell out of here so we can have something to look forward to.
Well, everybody at the one more thing before I get off here. Shamequa Holzclaw is beating Allen Houston.
She's beating him like a drum, Phil. How does that strike you?
Well, for somebody that should probably had attempted murder on her resume, I think it's appalling. It shows you we have the dumbest fan base in America.
Phil, you can't get on here and rip Shamequa Holzclaw. That's the
Why
queen.
Not? She about killed somebody.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here with that nonsense, Phil.
What are you fussing Phil for, Russ?
Because he's taking a shot at the queen, Shamequa Holzclaw.
He wasn't lying on her.
Do you know all the facts of that case, Phil, or Bear?
I know, but you know what I do know?
Don't align
you
yourself.
You threw a can of gasoline in the back seat of that car and then started firing a gun into it. Well, facts aren't disputed, buddy.
What? This is really something. All of a sudden, Bear's got a conscience about what people do off the field.
I always have. Name me a player who's had something kind of off the field that I've ever made an excuse for, or I haven't called to the carpet about it.
You still want that Zach Evans kid, Phil, or Bear? See, you got me calling you Phil now.
Zach Evans?
Yeah, the running back.
Has he been, accused of anything serious more than being a space cadet?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You want him.
Last time I checked, he didn't get charged with attempted murder. I'm just
this
saying.
Anasicki kid, he's 6'6". He's got offers from Louisville, Gonzaga, as well as Tennessee. He's scheduled to announce his collegiate destination and decision tomorrow at noon. Evan Daniels of Scout.com reports averaged 15.7 points per game and 11.6 rebounds per game this past season. And I did watch just some clips of him. Now, he is not playing against anything. It's not even D1 competition, I don't think. I mean, it's – but – he in the clips I saw, he is a man amongst boys, very athletic, 6'6", I would say at least 230 pounds, kind of a Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams type build to him. He would definitely give us some size and strength that we don't have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead, Bear.
I think out of the three that, the Gonzaga, Louisville, and Tennessee, to me it sounds like Tennessee would be the best chance for him to get the most minutes, given what Louisville's got and what Gonzaga year in and year out's got right now. And it's a position of need here, so.
That'd be interesting to see.
I would think, yeah.
I'm looking for an impact player. I wonder, he seems like a guy that if we pick him up, is a nice role player, a guy that can come off the bench and spell Pons and maybe Fulkerson a little bit, but I don't see him stepping in and putting up those types of numbers in the SEC next year. It'll be interesting. Stay with us. We got to take a quick break. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't heard that one in a while, Russell.
That's off. Is that off Nevermind? What song is that?
Tanner, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. That's Lounge Act. That's all my show's folder. You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. What album's it off?
Oh, it, yeah, Nevermind. That's like right in the middle of Nevermind.
Yeah. TC, worthy of a worthy addition to the Drive Music Snob Club, Russ.
Oh, I absolutely am. I absolutely am.
It's so melodic, man. You know, Cobain said when they went in studio to record Nevermind and do the production on it and everything, he said he was listening to a lot of the Beatles and the Pixies. That's what he wanted to do, is combine the Beatles with the Pixies.
Well, it was pretty successful.
Yeah, you get the loud, quiet, loud thing going on with just delicious pop hook after delicious pop hook. Work of art. Very good.
Reminds me of the Foo Fighters.
It's almost as if they had a barring one of their guys or two. Trey, have you started Tiger King yet?
Yeah, dude, I got two episodes into that thing last night. That is the
trippy.
I don't know what awaits me in episode three, but I was also not expecting, spoiler alert, for them to show the guy with his arm bitten off.
That's a girl, you know.
I mean, a girl. I'm sorry, yeah. Girl.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was a bit much. I knew that it happened in reading like some previews of the thing, but I didn't actually think that they would show the footage. And then also, I made the mistake of having dinner while they started to show footage of them unloading the cows and feeding them to the tigers, which I immediately put my dinner down.
Yeah, the meat truck they used to feed those tigers is not very appetizing.
No.
Yes.
I mean, what?
Speaking of which, I got to jump in here just real quick, guys. For everybody, if anybody could... If anybody could spare a couple bucks, the Knoxville Zoo right now is in trouble trying to feed some of the animals. So if you've got meat that's going bad, you can drop it off to them over there.
That's how, and I second that emotion, Bear. We donated a little bit to the zoo earlier today. That's how they feed. Excuse me, this guy, Joe Exotic, his little tiger zoo in Oklahoma, that's how they feed his animals, is Walmart, when their meat goes past the expiration date, they legally have to get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets a truck of expired meat from Walmart every day, and they're just going through it. And so you got the employees, like, skimming off the top. They're taking this expired meat. He opened up a patio where they serve pizza, where you can eat pizza on this patio with like the tigers like 5 feet away from you, you know?
Yeah.
But the meat that he's using for the pizza, they can't. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's what they can't prove it. They can't prove it, but that's what they think he did.
Yeah, I'm going to have to break down and watch this. That's next up after I finish The Sopranos. So,
well, I'll tell you what. My take on The Tiger King so far is that I think it's a little overhyped. It's good, but I'm telling you, man, if it's just abject weirdness you're after, and these people are freaking weird. There's no doubt about that. But if you just want to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening – that documentary, if you're looking for a recommendation, I talked about this a couple of months ago, but Don't Bleep with Cats on Netflix is so much weirder and I think so much better than Tiger King. Tiger King is good. Don't Bleep with Cats is amazing. Like, it will absolutely blow your mind.
Really? Yeah, I just couldn't do Don't F with Cats. Just couldn't do it. Did you watch that, Trey?
No, I haven't gone down that road yet.
You might not want to.
I'm not going to. I'm not into that type of thing.
Yeah, neither am I. Well, it's not for a couple of guys like me and you.
Here's the thing. You guys are making it sound like it's a snuff film or something. It's not about it's not even about the main character, who is a complete and total homicidal maniac. It's more about online culture and the takeaway and the theme, if you're watching it correctly, in my opinion. I know that sounded really pretentious. If the big thing is like online communities, virtual reality, and like people who live their life online as much or more than they live their life in the actual world. But if you just want to see some freaks killing each other, then it's got that too. 865-546-8200, your number to hop on board. Let's talk to Jamie. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on Fan Run Radio.
What's going on, fellas?
Jamie, what's up, buddy?
Good interviews the last couple of days, gentlemen. Well done.
No, Jerry, so you'd better be, we should be back to number one on your list of favorite people. The guys
y'all
on
never
the drive.
Y'all never left that, the peak
oh,
there, Bear.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I noticed y'all about busted a gut when Nurse Ball got on there and talked about me having Tommy John's, though. Low hanging fruit joke, but you know I can't blame y'all. You know y'all, it's been so long since y'all won at such an elite level. It's, you know, I guess you can either be sad or make fun of those around you for having a affection for winning at an elite level. I'm used to it.
Well, I'm just glad your heart rate has slowed enough to where you can call us now after the Bobby Mays interview, Jamie.
Well. It was exciting to hear a winner on the drive for a change.
Oh, come on.
Hey, what was more disappointing, though, Russ? The fact that, you know, 05-mil regular season Rick won't even condescend to speak to you guys, or the guy at Auburn calling up and saying he's a VFL again?
Coach Barnes has been on the drive, hadn't he, Russ?
He was on the drive once when he first got the job. He doesn't do many radio interviews at all. I don't take offense to it. They're two completely different personalities. And obviously Pearl is better for jumping on the radio. I think Barnes would be great jumping on the radio show because he can yuck it up with the best of them. He's a funny guy, but he doesn't do the interviews. And, you know, that's his prerogative, I suppose.
So he's been here half a decade, and he makes almost $5 million a year, and he can't be bothered to do local radio. That's fine. You know, it's just one more thing. You talk about Pearl being better at being on the radio than Barnes. That's just, you know, two things that, you know, he does better than Barnes. One's out coaching him every time he plays him, making the most out of a not-so-talented roster like this year. But, yeah, man, good hearing him on there. And Chris Lofton. And then Bobby Mays, I'm like you, Barry. He's one of my favorite guys to listen to. And he quietly behind the scenes does a lot for local basketball. And I always forget about that until, you know, when I hear him on or, you know, when y'all talked about having him on yesterday, today, it reminds me how lucky we are to have, you know, that contrast with the fact that we're still got people over there that canceled the dang cancer scholarship or whatever. What was it Bruce was talking about that after he left, he begged for them to keep the, what was it, a scholarship for cancer?
Yeah.
Help me out.
Outlive program.
Yeah. Who would cancel that? Why would, what would you give for a reason to get rid of that?
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things that nobody, you know, it seems like one of those things that, you know, Brooks Savage is the guy who started it with Pearl. And I think it's one of those initiatives that you have to have. Somebody has to pick up the slack and say, we need to do this. And I don't think anybody has done that yet. If somebody did that, a player, a coach, somebody, you know, in the UT family did that, I can't imagine they would say, no, we're not going to do that. And I can't imagine that anybody has tried to get that going again to be met with resistance from somebody saying, oh, no, we can't do that because that was a Bruce Pearl thing. If that happened, that would be a shame, but I just can't imagine that that would be the case.
Well, you know, I'm closer to seeing that being closer to the case, because you can't tell me that it's not been brought up. I mean, surely by one of the former players, or, you know, it doesn't shock me the way, you know, that they are over there on the Hill. Nothing surprises me. You know, even when Philip Fulmer came here, we kind of took a deep breath and thought, okay, we're being led by one of our own, me as well, you know. But we'll see. You know, I remember the first thing he told us, we had to wait 3 months to get a crane in to take off stupid Lyle Jones' face off the back of Nealon. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, we weren't waiting on a crane. It's just little things like that. Why lie to your fan base when you don't have to? I mean, that's just stupid. But again, guys, thanks for being in there, man. Y'all hang in there.
Jamie spreading cheer and positivity on the drive as only he can. Bear,
he's happy
the
right
outlived
now.
Thing, I'm not going to sit here and speculate on why that went away or why it doesn't come back, because I just don't know. I have no frame of reference or anything like that. I do find it interesting, though, that Bruce Pearl yesterday on the show basically went out of his way to bring that up, and I don't want to say sounded kind of angry or peeved about it, but maybe mildly annoyed that it's just not still a thing.
This is Trey. He called out Tennessee by saying, yeah, after they let me go, you know, I asked for one thing, and that's please keep this program going, and they haven't. Like, that's what he said yesterday. You know, when he got let go, that's what he asked. And they didn't, so he, in his words, he took it down to Auburn with him.
But don't you think, Trey, that if they – and I don't want to put pressure on any one specific individual, but if one former player or current player or somebody on the staff, a trainer, somebody said – and I know for a fact that somebody on that team heard that interview. We have, you know, players, coaches, administrators who listen to the show all the time. Somebody could pick up that mantle – and say, let's bring that back. It doesn't have to have anything to do with Bruce Pearl. It can be UT Outlive. And you all remember, I've got one of the shirts. It says Outlive on the front, and the UT and Outlive is the UT logo. And it's got the quote from Chris Lofton on the back. It's a great program, obviously. You can't tell me that if somebody really took the initiative to say, let's bring this back, let's do it, we'll sell the T-shirts, we'll have a game that centers around it, that we could do that without making it in any way about Bruce and making it for a good cause. I'm not trying to start anything here. I'm just saying that it could be done if somebody cared enough to do it.
I agree with you on that. I look, as much as they, here's my take on it. As much as they praise Chris Lofton, and as much as he's around Knoxville whenever he's back in town, I think that they should be able to bring it back. But I will say this. Look what Bruce Pearl's done with it down at Auburn. You know what I mean? And they're raising a lot of money down there. I just don't get why, you know, it still wouldn't happen at Tennessee for one of your most decorated players of all time. That's just kind of my opinion. Because and I'll end it with this. Everybody does in the SEC and in the NCAA women's basketball, we backpack. You know what I mean? Everybody does that. Why couldn't the University of Tennessee and the University of Auburn, even though they're, you know, I get it. I get the history and past. But why couldn't they come together and, you know, do this thing, you know, for Chris Lofton? I don't get it.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you here on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. No overtime. Coming up next, we have Fox Sports national programming headed your way here in just a minute. 865-546-8200. Let's get Drago in here next. Good afternoon, Drago. You're on the drive.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing well, man. What's up?
Hey, can I switch gears to NFL for a little bit with you and my Patriots?
Sure.
So I saw a thing today, and I want to get your guys' opinion on it. Right now, the Patriots have about $800,000 in cap space. So they're going to have to trade some people and make up some room if they want to sign a draft class this year. But next year, it looks like they will have 13 picks because of comp picks and $100 million in salary cap space due to expiring contracts and all that. What would you guys do if the Patriots decided to tank for Trevor this season?
Why would they even need to tank with all that war, that war chest? They could just make somebody an offer they couldn't refuse and move up and take him.
Ain't nobody going to trade the number one pick next year, Bear. What are you smoking?
Those comp picks are going to be third, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round picks. They're not going to be second round picks.
And all the picks in the world aren't going to be worth the chance to draft what pretty much looks like, you know, the next Peyton, Brady, whoever, like a generational type quarterback. So I don't know. It's just risky because you're a Patriots fan. Can you see Belichick tanking an entire season? Can you imagine an even more miserable than normal Bill Belichick for an entire year? That sounds awful.
Well, the columns that have come out about players that they would need to cut or trade to free up cap space this season are Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Edelman. And if that's the case, then yeah, if you're going to cut or trade them, tank it.
I mean, you're the fan. Do you want that to happen?
Do I want Trevor Lawrence?
Do you want to tank an entire season in hopes of getting the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence? Not even sure that, you know, that it would be possible or that it will work.
I could live with it.
Oh, man.
It'll be a long year, but I could live with it.
Yeah. I just don't see it happening, man. I mean, I could be wrong, and if there was a guy worth tanking for, it certainly looks like him. But I don't see it, man. I don't see New England going that route now. Now, some of the other crap teams out there, I could see, you know, the Dolphins, if they suck again, doing it. I could see, maybe the Bears if they're not any good this year. You know, teams like that, the Lions. I mean, I don't see anybody going from day one, assuming we play the darn season, and saying this is our goal and we're not even going to try this year. But if you get it, what's going to be interesting is how early does a team recognize if you're 4 weeks in, four games in, you're 0-4 and you stink, there, it's going to be really tempting to just go ahead and say, all right, this season's over, we're going all in. We'll play the third string quarterback, do what we got to do, and throw up an 0-16 and draft Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't think Belichick would do it. But also, at the same time, I think he might be on his way out, and McDaniels is sitting there as the head coach and waiting. But I'll let you guys go. I mean, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Drago. Yeah, I mean, if he...
That just sounds preposterous. I was on mute during that, so I really couldn't say anything. The only way that Trevor Lawrence is going to end up with the damn Patriots is if Trevor Lawrence comes out and decides, you know what, and Bill Belichick's going to have to work a deal. I'm going to go sign with the XFL, and then I'm going to sit out, or I can't be in the draft. And then once the XFL's over, then I'll let Belichick sign me. There's no way that the Patriots are going to be in the top four picks next year. They're just not going to be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, that would never happen. He's not going to do the XFL route, but
I know that. I'm saying that'd be the only way.
My mind would be Belichick is not going to, like, he's not going to coach one more year and have it be a tank year and then hand it off. If he's going to go through that, then by God, he's going to be the coach when you get Trevor Lawrence. But anyway, quick timeout. Do we need to take one more break here, Tanner, or should we just roll with it?
Man, it is up to you. I can cut some to make it a short one. It's up to you.
Well, we don't want to do that. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll come back. We'll get final thoughts from Bear and Trey, and we'll let Hayden Wallen preview the rest of the Sweet 16 that kicks off here today with the King of the Vols Crown Cleaners bracket. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, and Bear hanging out with you here for one more segment of live radio. We're going to get Hayden Wallen in here in just a little bit to preview the last two matchups, the last set of matchups, I believe, for the Sweet 16. Of course, we got four more games headed your way tomorrow in the King of the Balls bracket presented by Crown Cleaners. First, though, and we're limited with our phone capacity right now, so I wanted to get Trey in here for get his final thoughts. Trey, give me some parting thoughts this afternoon. Great work on getting all these basketball dudes on the show here the past couple of days. And, yeah, man, what are your plans today other than watching Tiger King here after the show?
No, man, it's been a good few days, man. And hope everybody, enjoys family and being around each other, and got a long way to go, but everybody stick with it. And we got through another day of sports talk radio with absolutely no sports going on, which we will all give ourselves a pat on the back for. And I just hope we entertain everybody. That's the main purpose of all of this, and I'm glad we got to take a trip down memory lane when it comes to the Tennessee basketball. And I don't think we're done yet, so pay attention to that. But other than that, man, yeah, it'll probably be some Tiger King, the newsroom, some stuff like that tonight. I'm going to try to check out mentally of what everything is going on in this world and kind of just take a break. So I hope y'all have a good night. Thanks again, and we'll do it tomorrow.
Thanks, Trey. Trey Wallace making his impact felt this afternoon on the show. Let's bring in Hayden. Hayden Wallen, quality control analyst here at The Drive, and he and John Tyler, the architects of the King of the Vols bracket presented by our friends at Crown Cleaners, who will be the greatest of all of them all. Hayden, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Russell. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man, doing all right. Good to talk with you. Your initial thoughts on what we've seen today on the bracket?
I honestly thought some of the matchups would have been closer. I know Johnny Majors and Eric Berry's pretty close, and Shmeikla and Allen Houston's pretty close. But Reggie absolutely destroying Ernie Grunfeld, and Chris Lofton has a pretty sizable lead on Condridge.
Bear, who do you vote for in Johnny Majors versus Eric Berry?
Eric Berry.
Really?
Yeah. Eric Berry was once a generational player.
So was Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors was robbed of he was robbed of the 1956 Heisman Trophy.
No, he was not. He wasn't. I love Johnny Majors. Love him. But he wasn't robbed. Jim Brown was robbed. Jim Brown was the best college football player in America that year. You can go back and look up his numbers. They're astounding. But because of the time period, they weren't going to give it.
Who won?
Paul Hornung from Notre Dame on like a 2-7 team.
Paul Hornung. Johnny Majors was robbed. Period. End of story. Not to mention the fact, Bear, he was the head coach here for 16 years. He won three SEC championships during that span of time. He won the 1976 national championship at Pitt. I love Eric Berry. It's Johnny Majors all the way.
I've said what I had to say, Russ. No questions, please. Eric Berry is one of the GOAT players.
Hayden, what are the four games tomorrow?
In Nashville, we have Peyton Manning versus Grant Williams. That's a 1-5 matchup. Also in Nashville, we have a 6-seed Al Wilson versus a 2-seed Dale Ellis. And then in Johnson City, we have a 1-seed Bernard King versus 12-seed Casey Clawson. And then 3-seed Heath Shuler versus 2-seed Todd Helton.
Wow. Wow. Getting down to it. Getting down to it. Those games, those voting, whatever you want to call them, elections, I guess, will be live at 3 o'clock tomorrow here on another stellar edition of The Drive. Great work by you, Hayden Wallen. Fantastic work. Thanks for jumping on.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll be on tomorrow, I hope.
Definitely. Plan on it. Hayden Wallen jumping off here this afternoon. Bear, give me a parting thought.
Everybody, keep calm and, you know, keep being kind to one another. Got out today and took the opportunity, you know, at my local pharmacy and / grocery store to, you know, just be pleasant to everybody you come in contact with. So, anyhow, great show, Russ. Really enjoyed it and look forward to tomorrow, man.
Yeah, I'll second that emotion. I haven't been out to a store in a long time. My wife went last week, and she said it was interesting how nice people were being to each other. So I will second that. But I'm going to end on this. I don't mean to end on a downer or anything like that, but if you missed any of the show earlier, go back and listen to hour number one. We had a couple of reports from people around town that said that some of these parks were full, and they saw kids playing and everything. And listen, nobody's against kids playing. Nobody's against you living your life. Nobody's against you having fun and enjoying this beautiful weather that we had today and that we're hopefully going to have tomorrow. But y'all have to start exercising some common sense. We cannot be gathering in these parks in close proximity to each other. Look at what is happening in larger populated areas. That can happen here, and it will happen here if we don't stay home. Nobody's asking you to make any sort of great sacrifice. Go for a walk in your neighborhood. Play with your kids. Eat what you want. Cook out. Have a good time. Watch Netflix, man. This is not hard, ladies and gentlemen. But if you don't do it, we are going to have a really difficult time here, and people are going to die. And that is not overstating anything. So I just hope people will exercise better judgment. I know most of y'all are doing the right thing, and hopefully I'm just preaching to the choir here. But if you're not, if you're out there going to a park, crowded place this afternoon, y'all need to check yourself, man, because you're messing up. And this ain't no hoax, conspiracy, political talk. No, man, this is real life. And lives are at stake. And some of y'all need to do better. All right, no overtime. Fox Sports National Programming coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on The Drive. Big thanks to Tanner Carson for all his hard work behind the scenes this afternoon back at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Y'all be good.